You can get the latest odds, offers, and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app, and in any of our shops around the UK.
11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals, and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores,
scoring the goals.
He shoots, he scores,
scoring the goals.
Hello and welcome to the League Podcast with William Hill. Alex Dunn and Pete Farries here to guide you through, well, normally the best of the action in the Championship, both televised and untelevised. But we have no Championship. It's International Week already. Seems like just yesterday that the season started, but already we're having our first little break, which means Pete is going to be looking at three games in League One that are on TV this weekend. That's Peterborough Swindon, Northampton Milton Keynes, and Gillingham against Sheffield United. We're going to get to them in a minute, but first things first, good morning, Mr. Farries. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I finally landed an app.
You have?
It was a last-minute winner, but it landed. So I'm off and running. I feel a little bit relieved now and like I can get going.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not been the easiest start, and although you've been putting plenty of winning tips up, no winning naps until last week. But as I said, it is a very different feel this week, isn't it? It's rare that League One does get the attention that it's going to get this week, but it's certainly not a bad thing, is it?
No, not at all. And of course, we've got all the European qualifiers to come over the next few days as well. I'm not a big fan of the international break, to be perfectly honest with you. Certainly this early on, but I wasn't asked when it was put together.
That's true. Nor was I, actually. If we're going on that road, but
just very quickly, one market. Northern Ireland are currently 4-1 to beat the Czech Republic on Sunday.
Okay.
Czech Republic football at the moment's in a bit of a mess, and after Northern Ireland's Euros, that 4-1 could be huge. Anyway, sorry, League One.
Bonus tipping there from Pete Farries. He won't be getting paid for that, but he's putting it up anyway. That's why I like you, Pete. That's why I like you.
Thank you.
Right.
All right, you.
We're going to move on to... the first game we're going to look at is Peterborough against Swindon, which is coming up at 12:15 on Saturday. Peterborough are 10-11. The draw is 5-2, and it's 13-5 for Swindon coming into this. Both teams have made solid starts to this season, haven't they, Pete? With Swindon very, very tight so far. Scored 4 and conceded 4 in the 4 games they've played. They nearly played 5 games, but their game against Bristol Rovers was abandoned when 0-0 last time. So another game that was going to be fairly tight there. Do you think that's a factor here, the fact that maybe their legs are a little less jaded than the Peterborough players? Also got to bear in mind, of course, that Peterborough got absolutely hammered in midweek at home to Norwich under-23s in the Cup.
And it could have been worse.
Mm.
It actually could have been worse. I was in the William Hill in-play studio for that game, and I could not believe what I was seeing. There was a couple of names in that Norwich side, but generally speaking, Peterborough did not turn up. Grant McCann called it an absolute embarrassment of a performance. And it was a pretty strong starting 11 as well. This was not a kind of a youth team that McCann put out. This is a pretty strong starting 11. And they conceded 6. For me, Swindon are absolutely, unquestionably, unarguably and definitely the play here. They've started the season, I think, really well. If you look at their League One form so far, yes, they lost at the Pro Act, but they've won a couple of games. They drew against Gillingham, an impressive early doors Gillingham side. Now, they've made some good signings. Sean Murray, they've brought in from Watford, I'm a big fan of. I just think, generally, they are a very, very good side. And Peterborough, yeah, I mean, they destroyed Millwall, didn't they? They lost away at Oxford. Losing to Swansea in the Cup, I'm going to ignore. They beat the MK Dons at the Stadium MK. But imagine you're a player who's just played against a... You can say, well, it's a Premier League academy side or whatever, but you still know that you should not be losing that game by 5 goals.
Mm.
You still know, for me, it's a real test of Grant McCann's management here, because how do you pick your side up having just lost 6-1 to a side that everyone was kind of going, oh, they're not even like a proper first team? That's the thing there. You've not just lost to an in-form, good side. You've not lost to a Premier League side in the Cup. You've lost to a group of the reserves and the youngsters. And that, for me, is, I think, can be devastating to the confidence. I really, really do. I've played Swindon here. They didn't play midweek, as you've said, so that's another thing in their pocket. They've had a bit more time off. They're 2-1 draw, no bet. That, to my mind, is brilliant value. But they are definitely the play. They are definitely the play. And there's loads of really interesting enhanced odds here, but I quite like the Obika one. Obika to score, Swindon to win. It was 5-1, up to 7-1. And to be honest, Obika is a player who, you know, more often than not, probably should have done slightly better by this point than he has done. But he's a talented lad, Obika. And for me, that 7-1 is very, very interesting. It's very interesting. He's a good signing, Obika, and a good player, I should say, really, Obika. And I just think that price on that enhanced odds is brilliant. But you're giving me 13-5, or you're giving me 2-1 draw, no bet, on a side who have been very good early doors this season, and they have been, barring the loss at Chesterfield. And you're giving me that, opposed to a side who've been, good, you know, fine, it's early doors, but have just lost their goalkeeper. Ben Olmick has left. I mean, I know they brought Luke McGee in from Spurs, but Olmick's a brilliant goalkeeper. And you're saying to me they conceded 6 against a reserve team in the midweek. And you want to back them at 10-11. Not a chance. Not a chance. Swindon are 13-5. The draw no bet is 2-1. I quite like the Obika enhanced odds. And I've got to say, I do quite like him anytime at 19-10, even if you don't think Swindon win the game.
OK. Peterborough, of course, won just once as well in the last 7 head-to-heads with Swindon. But also interesting that in the last 6 games in League and Cup between these two sides at Peterborough, been 24 goals in just 6 games, including 5-4 in 2010. Granted, that is now 6 years ago. But plenty of goals. And both teams' scores landed as well if you go on the head-to-heads in 11 of the last 13. So that could be a way to look at it as well. Maybe play some goals in that one with a Swindon win. We'll move on to...
You think as well, Alex, sorry to interrupt, you think about Swindon's 3-1 loss away at the Pro Act. You think about the 6 conceded by Peter, but they did score in that game. They hit 5, of course, in another one of their games. Hadn't really sort of, to be honest, it's my own fault really, but I hadn't really given the overs goals that much of a consideration. But when you, I mean, I'm not a big head-to-head player, but when you go through those forms and when you look at the ability to score and concede in both of these teams, but predominantly Peterborough, and you're offering over 2.5 at 13-20. It's not a huge over 2.5 price, but it's actually quite an attractive one.
Yeah, like I said, 24 goals in 6 games is pretty tempting, as previous, if you like. But okay, we'll move on to the Sunday's televised games. We'll start with the 12 o'clock game: Northampton against MK Dons. Northampton are 29-20. The draw is 21-10, and MK Dons in the betting at 9-5. This is a derby of sorts, Pete, and Northampton have drawn all 5 of their games in the league to date. Under 2.5 goals as well would have landed in all 5 of those. MK Dons, perhaps surprisingly, have really struggled at home so far this season, but in the league they are 2-2 on the road. That said, the last time that Northampton, who of course have been promoted, the last time that they lost a home league game was back in December. That was against Portsmouth in League 2. Fascinating matchup, this. We make Northampton favourites. I think a lot of people will be interested in maybe looking for a pro MK Dons bet at that price. But whichever way you look at it, this really is an intriguing contest.
It is. And actually, the MK Dons have been better away from home early this season than they've been at home. If you look at them at the Stadium MK, they've lost to Bradford, they've lost to Peterborough, and they've drawn 2-2 with Millwall. I know they're 3 very good sides, but they've not been great. They've gone away to Shrewsbury and they've gone away to Rochdale, won both, admittedly narrowly, but have still won both, 1-0. So actually, away from home at the moment, they're maybe carrying more of your money, certainly carrying more of my money, than they are at home. The thing with Northampton is, if you're a side who are drawing game after game after game, and you go on to win, then you can either drop back to that drawing process, or you can start to pick up those wins. If you draw, you draw, you draw, you draw, you draw, whatever, and then you lose, which is what Northampton did midweek, that spell is broken. Now, I know that eventually they got past West Brom in the League Cup, but that was the 90 minutes that, of course, they had drawn. So it is fascinating to me here that you've got the MK Dons at 9-5, because I think Northampton's run of draws has been popped now. And don't forget, they've not been jokes as such, because that wouldn't be fair to say, but the whole thing about Gareth Ainsworth, for example, bringing himself on as a sub and assisting a goal against them midweek. So the Wickham manager, a man in his 40s, brings himself on and assists a goal. And they lose 3-0. And you put that up against the MK Dons, who I was in the studio. They were not great against Barnet. They got themselves the extra penalty point. I mean, okay. But they got themselves the extra penalty point against Barnet after winning the penalty shootout. They took the lead in that game. They actually had more chances to go on and kick on. I just look at the makeup of this, and I just want to back against a side who've had draw, we've lost. Because how would you pick yourself up? Because you can't even go, don't worry, lads, we've been winning. You go, oh, we've only really been drawing, and now we've lost a game to a League Two side. And admittedly, it was an EFL game, but EFT game. But ultimately, as a punter, I want to see patterns. And even though the MK Dons haven't been brilliant, I mean, you look at their league form so far, two wins, two losses, and the one draw, they have been winning away from home. So 9-5, the MK Dons, again, would be, to my mind, the nibble here. You've got the draw no bet market at even money, which, again, is quite nice. They've not had any kind of regular goal scorer. Daniel Powell scored the other day. He's 13-5. Ben Reeves, I'm a big fan of him. He's 14-5. And they've just signed Ryan Colclough on loan as well, a very talented lad. Anytime he's 3-1, so that'll be quite an interesting debut shout for Ryan Colclough if you want to back that. But ultimately, I just cannot be with anything other than the MK Dons here. In terms of the enhanced odds offers, Bowditch to score and the MK Dons to win, 5-1. But Maynard to score, MK Dons to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. Which was 15-2, is now 8-1. I'd carry much more of that, I think, because I don't see a huge amount of goals. As you mentioned, we've seen loads of unders. All five of those Northampton draws were unders. Unders, by the way, 8-11. And in terms of the MK Dons, just two of their five opening league games have gone unders as well. So this could well be an unders game, but certainly I quite like that Maynard and the MK Dons 1-0, 2-0, or 2-1 at 8-1. But draw no bet. The MK Dons, even money.
Okay. The final game that we're going to look at is Gillingham against Sheffield United. This one's 2:15 on Sunday. Gillingham are 6-4, the draw is 9-4, and Sheffield United are 8-5. After a nightmare start, the Blades at least took a step towards rising up the league with their comeback win against Oxford last weekend, but there's still a pretty negative feel around Bramall Lane. And Gillingham have made a decent start to the season. They got a pasting at Scunthorpe, but apart from that, they've started life pretty well. I mean, Sheffield United, people are going to say, yes, they're going to click eventually, but you get the feeling that if Gillingham could get in the lead here, then it might be curtains for Sheffield United. How do you see it going, Pete?
Can you back Sheffield United yet?
No. Even though this is a much more appealing price than you have been able to get on them, there are better 8-5s out there, I'd say.
There are. And they have to be, for me, Gillingham, considered as the winners of this game. Sheffield United have been to Bolton and Millwall. Admittedly, two teams who are sitting in the top five early season, but don't forget, Gillingham are only sixth. They've lost 1-0 and 2-1 away from home. Gillingham, well, you know, they've had a very good start, haven't they? Three wins, a draw and a loss. I mean, that loss was bizarre at Scunthorpe. They were absolutely obliterated. But 3-1 against Southend, 2-1 against Bury, 3-2 against Shrewsbury. If you fancy Gillingham, there is one market you could have a little bit of a look at here, which is the come from behind and win or draw market. Now, that's not currently available. It should become available as the sort of the week progresses and it all bubbles up and the traders get everything they want. In fact, no, I do apologise. It is available. It wasn't available last night. To come from behind and win or draw Gillingham is 15-2. They did that against Southend. They did that against Shrewsbury. They did that against Swindon. So you are looking at three of their five league games so far, Gillingham. They have come from behind to win or draw. You would have landed that bet. And Sheffield United, they've added good players. I mean, over the course of the summer, the likes of Fleck and so on. They've just added Kieran Lavery, which I think is a very, very good player. Harry Chapman, the youngster from Middlesbrough, is a very good talent. But I just can't be with Sheffield United yet. It might well be that they're on the upshoot now. They're on the fly. They're looking good. But how can you be with them when they've been as weak as they have been? I know they came from behind against Oxford, but they've just not done enough to carry my money. And Gillingham responded brilliantly after that 5-0 loss and being, of course, 2-0 down. I have to be with Gillingham. I have to be with both teams to score as well. At 7-10. I mean, that looks, if you're talking about a game where you expect both teams to score, or one team, sorry, to come from behind and win or draw, you're talking about both teams to score, aren't you? 4 of the last 5 Gillingham League matches, you've landed your both teams to score. In 3 of the last 5 Sheffield United games, you've landed your both teams to score. That's enough for me for a 7-10, especially with the way I think the game is going to pan out. The over 2.5 is 19-20. And then this is a game with so many interesting goal scorer plays. Billy Sharp's off and running, of course, he's 13-8. McNulty's in there at 21-10. Kieran Lavery, who they've just signed, is 23-10. Harry Chapman, the youngster on loan from Borough, is 17-5. But there are two in this Gillingham side that have to be looked at. Firstly, Bradley Dack. Loads of goals last season. A really, really good player who they will be delighted that they managed to keep a hold of. But J. Emmanuel Thomas, 5 goals in all competitions up to this point. He's 13-10 anytime, J. Emmanuel Thomas. That is a great bet. And if you, like me, think Gillingham are going to win this, the enhanced odds of Emmanuel Thomas to score and Gillingham to win from 13-5 to 3-1 is great. Is great. Yes, I think there's a lot of talent in Sheffield United. And once that side starts firing, they will be very dangerous indeed. The problem is, over the last few years, Sheffield United haven't really fired, have they?
No.
So, do I want to back it to happen yet after just the one win? No, I don't. So, for me, ultimately, Alex, Gillingham in the play.
Okay. Gillingham have scored 6 goals and kept a clean sheet as well in the last 3 games against Sheffield United. And Sheffield themselves have registered just 9 shots on target so far this season. That is a league low. So, plenty against Sheffield United going into that one, and Gillingham the play for Pete. Great stuff then, Mr. Farries. Are you going to try and back last week's nap up with another one then?
Of course I am. Of course
What's
I am.
What's it going to be?
3 very interesting games, but if you look right now at Swindon Town, if you look at them having started the season well and you look at Peterborough having received an absolute kicking. Now, of course, it could work in a reverse fashion and it could well be that Peterborough spark into life after Grant McCann embarrassed them quite rightly midweek after their performance. But Swindon are playing well and Peterborough are still a bit all over the place for me. They've lost their goalkeeper, who's been a big leader from the back for them for a long time. And they've replaced him, but that's still a big loss, certainly, to lose your keeper in that way. So my nap of the week is going to be Swindon Town, draw, no bet. I'm going to take a bit of insurance here because it's still a 2-1 poke. So Swindon Town, draw, no bet, Alex, at 2-1.
Okay. Lovely stuff, Mr. Farries. They're your thoughts on the televised games in League One. We've got Gav Poshlowski to look at the rest of the games in League One, and Al Ross as well to look at the best of the games in League Two. They're coming up in just a moment. We've managed to fend off interest in them from transfer deadline day. Big offer came in for you as well, Pete, but we've managed to keep you for another 6 months anyway.
Did it?
Yeah, big offer, yeah. Yeah, I don't think we told you. Right. Yeah, sorry, it's...
I kind of feel like I should have been consulted on that.
No.
And you didn't do my thing about my birthday either when it was my birthday in April. We didn't even mention it.
No, that's true. Ooh, a bit of unrest in the league podcast camp. Ooh. Here's Gav Poshlowski anyway.
League One has been split up this weekend with a couple of games on Sunday, but I'm just going to focus on the Saturday action for my League One acca. And I'm going to start with a team who have started very well. They sit 8th on 8 points at Fleetwood at home to Coventry. Fleetwood are 6-5. Coventry not started well. They're 22nd with just 3 points so far this season. Coventry are 11-5 and 21-10 for the draw. I will tell you that the last 3 meetings between these two sides, it is the away side have come out on top. Coventry have won their last 2 games at Fleetwood, 1-0 and 2-0. And Fleetwood, in their last 8 games at home in which they've conceded, they've only won 2 of those 8. And Coventry have just started to score goals. So if Coventry do score, then the draw could be a play at 21-10. But I still fancy Fleetwood at 6-5. They're going great guns. They're generally scoring, normally scoring, over 1.5 goals a game as well. They've got David Ball in their side, who scored 3 goals in 4. He's 7-5 anytime goal scorer. And the last time Fleetwood played Coventry, at Coventry, they won by 2-1. And David Ball scored that day as well. The last 4 meetings between these two sides has produced a grand total of 8 goals. And 7 of those 8 have been in the second half. So you could look at second half being the highest scoring half, which is the price of 21-20. That would have landed in the last four games. Also something to look at in terms of goals between Fleetwood and Coventry. Of the last four meetings between these two sides, there's been a grand total of six goals scored in the final 15 minutes in the last four meetings. So that is definitely play. Match goal, yes, between minute 76 and full-time at 11-10. But I certainly fancy Fleetwood to continue their good start to the season. The only side to have beaten Fleetwood so far this season is the best side in the division, which is at Bolton, and that happened at Bolton. I think Fleetwood are going to have too much for Coventry, so Fleetwood I like at 6-5. My second bet in League One this Saturday is Millwall versus Bradford, and it to be the draw at 11-5. Millwall, very tempting at evens. Their home form is exceptional. Bradford, though, having a really good start to the season under Stuart McCall, and they're 13-5, which I think is a little bit too big. I'm tempted by the double chance. Bradford will draw at 4-6. Bradford's away form is very good in League One. Only two defeats in the last 11 on the road. And, of course, these teams met in the playoff semi-final at the end of last season, and Bradford actually walked away with a draw at Millwall. Bradford are the last side to go to Millwall and not get beaten. Millwall on a fine run of form at the Den, and they've actually managed to win it's eight of their last nine, and the last side they've failed to beat at home, that will be Bradford. And Bradford are scoring goals away from home. They're on fine form, scoring plenty of goals as well, with the Billy Clark amongst the goals. Have a look at him to score any time. And Bradford have added Mark McNulty on loan from Sheffield United as well, who's a goal scorer. He's scoring plenty on loan at Portsmouth last season in League Two, and I think he can actually score for Bradford in League One as well. I think that's a good loan move for Mark McNulty, and Bradford have got a goal scorer in their rank. Someone to look at in terms of goals for Millwall, he's got six in his last seven games. He scored a brace against Chesterfield last weekend, and he scored last time Millwall played Bradford in a 3-1 victory. And you're looking at Steve Morrison anytime 13-8. I do believe that this is one of the best anytime goal scorers, in fact the best anytime goal scorer in League One at the moment. Steve Morrison, 13-8 anytime. Big play between Millwall and Bradford. The last time Bradford played away at Millwall, it finished all square. And that's the scoreline I'm going for today as well. The 1-1 to replicate what happened last May. If you do fancy 1-1 between these two sides, it is 6-1. It is second away at fifth. And both these teams, I believe, will cancel each other out, and it will end up all square. If you fancy the draw, as I do, between Millwall and Bradford, it's 11-5. Just before I give my third and final shout in League One, just a couple of teams that tempt me with big prices. I do believe Chesterfield, established at League One level, are a bit too big away at Wimbledon. Chesterfield are 2-1 to go in and win at Wimbledon. Over 2.5 goals are playing this one. Chesterfield have started scoring goals on the road, and Wimbledon have started their campaign with two home defeats, 2-1. Both these sides have been buoyed by victories in the Ticker Tray Trophy, but Chesterfield look a bit too big at 2-1. I would also say that Port Vale look a bit big as well, away at Bury. Port Vale 11-5. The last couple of games for Bury have involved high-scoring games. They won 4-1 in the EFL Trophy, the Ticker Tray Trophy, and they drew 3-3 with Walsall. So over 2.5 goals at 21-20 looks a play with Bury and Port Vale. Port Vale have got a pretty decent head-to-head record against Bury, and Port Vale going great guns at the moment. They're 11-5, a bit big. But my third and final shout, I have to stick with Bolton at 7-10 against Southend. Southend have just started scoring goals on the road, so maybe Bolton, who have started to leak one or two at the back, and both teams to score is a play. It landed against Fleetwood, where they came from behind to win late by 2-1. So Bolton to win and both teams to score 11-4. Southend recently found themselves 3-0 up after 15 minutes away at Sheffield United. And the interesting thing, though, with Southend is that when they do win away from home, as they did last time at Bramall Lane, they followed that up with a defeat. They've done that in the last three victories in League One, where they've won away from home, they've lost the next game on the road, and it doesn't hide the fact that Southend have actually lost 9 of their last 11 on the road. And we know that Bolton at the moment, 100% success rate at home, won 1-0 against Sheffield United and 2-1 against Fleetwood. So I'm sticking with Bolton. I think they're a good play at 7-10. And I can also tell you that you've got to look at Gary Medine. Tipped him up last week, tipped him up the week before, and he is starting to score goals. Gary Medine anytime at 13-10. But I do like Bolton at 7-10 to beat Southend. My treble for League One this weekend is Fleetwood Town to beat Coventry at 6-5, the draw between Millwall and Bradford at 11-5, and Bolton, which happens to be my nap selection, at 7-10 to beat Southend. Altogether, just over 10-1.
There you have it then, the thoughts of Gav Puszulowski on the action in League One that Pete hadn't covered. So you've got a good flavour of League One now. A lot of games mentioned there. But we've not forgotten about League Two. Of course we haven't. Al Ross is on hand to offer his thoughts on the best of the action in the fourth tier of English football. Let's hear what he fancies in League Two this week.
If you support a Premier League club, the transfer window's become a time of strengthening. If you support a League Two club, it's a time to desperately try and hold on to your best players. And actually, largely speaking, most teams have managed that. But not all have recruited as they should. Kudos in this respect to Luton, who did bring in three hungry young players to give them the energy and fearlessness they need in the short term, because they have the luxury of easing those players into the side if they choose to do so. Contrast that with their opponents this weekend, Wickham, who in my eyes should have been doing a lot of business, but ended up only bringing in youngsters, that at a time when a third of their squad is currently in the treatment room. In that kind of situation, you need older, steadier heads, particularly if you've had a rocky start to the season, as Wickham have, and you're away at Kenilworth Road against a Luton side who could end up top of the table come the end of the weekend. And Luton, I think, at 4-5 at home, is a great place to start on this weekend's accumulator. There are a few additions, talking of transfers, by the way, that caught my eye. Is Ellie McLeod at Yeovil for one? He could be a good addition to that squad. So why on earth did they throw him into the EFL Cup in midweek? They seem to be taking that competition seriously, because McLeod was only one of two outfield changes. At this time of two games a week, having only played two home games, and having travelled to Luton and to Mansfield and to Everton and to Doncaster already, it is simply not sustainable for a small club. They just about held on Yeovil against what was effectively a Portsmouth reserve side in midweek, having lost their previous four matches. And if they just aren't willing to rotate, I can smell a lot of trouble in the short term. Now, that does mean the usual inadvisable tactic of backing Blackpool away from home. But given Blackpool also won in midweek and with a much more heavily rotated side, and given the fact that they've performed better than Yeovil so far this season, despite facing better opposition, I am willing to take a punt this week at 8-5 on Blackpool away from home. And with Yeovil scoring less than a goal a game and Blackpool conceding less than a goal a game, you could even go for the 3-1 on Blackpool as the only team to score. But surely Yeovil must be the only struggling side in League Two who are stretching a small squad by asking them to compete on two fronts despite a lack of form. Surely they're the only ones with a hard travelling schedule who've been playing their best team twice a week at the start of the season when players are never fully match fit. The answer to that is no. Step forward, Cambridge United, the league's bottom club, who played 10 of the 14 players who took to the field for at least part of last week's heavy defeat by Luton in order to scrape past a Shrewsbury side who changed over half their team. Now, their opponents, Mansfield, they didn't have the travelling, and most of their first-choice players didn't have the playing to cope with in midweek. Field Mill, admittedly, hardly a fortress last season, but Cambridge's record there isn't great anyway, and even if it was, odds against on any side at home to the club who are bottom of the table couldn't be ignored, even if Cambridge weren't overstretching themselves. So Mansfield, 23-20, the third part of the Yakka, and more importantly, my nap this week, Mansfield, 23-20. If you add that along to Luton at 4-5, and Blackpool away at Yeovil at 8-5. Quite conservative considering the prices I put up the last few weeks, but still a tasty enough 9.06-1 at the time of recording.
Mansfield then getting the nod for Al in League Two as the nap selection. As ever, interesting to hear from him. And indeed Gav and of course Pete. So a league podcast with a little bit of a twist this week given the lack of championship action, but worry not, that will return next week with Pete and Al and Gav of course. And myself, Alex Dunn, will be back next week with the best of the action in the lower leagues. Best of luck with whatever you have a bet on Saturday, and of course the couple of games on Sunday as well in Leagues 1 and 2, and of course anything else that you are getting involved with over the weekend. Best of luck, and I'll catch up with you next week.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey, oh, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday.
Plus you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.